Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Rants into the Heavens. I know you guys kind of got a fill of this when I did the Starless Rants, which I haven't really gone to check to see how many people watched that video, but yeah, the Black Tape Letter definitely had a lot from me, so if you want to just listen to that, go ahead and do it, because there's some really good rants. I get a little crazy, but yeah, you guys expect that, right? Okay, so, anyway, let's go ahead and get down to brass tacks here. Alright, so, I have a guest coming in that actually wants to be a part of my show, and I do have to talk about some things, because I have said a few things, maybe some trash talk in the past earlier about, you know, about her and stuff like, and to be fair, it was just me kind of letting off some steam and all that. I have no bad blood between her, you know, nothing like that. But to be absolutely fair, guys, I really didn't know her story that well. I mean, we talked on the phone, and I know her in real life and all that. So, of course, everything we do during this interview will be, you know, anonymous. But I will say that I didn't know a lot of things about her. And, you know, it's been a number of years since, you know, I last saw her in person. You know, she doesn't live in the same area anymore even. So there's a lot, again, that I didn't know. And she texted me recently. And surprising text, because we were discussing, you know, interview topics and stuff. And a surprising text basically showcased that she has witnessed some things that most young people should not have to witness. And additionally, she discussed that she was not only a former groupie, but a former escort. Now, a lot of you guys may be like, well, why would you want to have someone like that on? And of course, it's for the conversation. It's for that perspective, you know. I don't really know that much about these kinds of people. Like, I've never hired an escort. I, you know, I don't know much about groupies and all that kinds of thing. You know, I played music, but I never played, like, in a live setting or anything. So I don't know much about that situation. But, you know, she does, and she said that she would be willing to talk about these topics. Also, keep in mind that she is now a bit of a reformed Christian. I know you guys are going to say, it's what do they call born-again thoughts or whatever. I know. I get it. But, you know, just let's go on and let her talk, you know. Let her go ahead and explain her story and, you know, what she thinks about a lot of the modern, you know, because, of course, she was an old-school, you know, escort sex worker, like what you would say. And I want to know what she thinks about this modern, you know, this modern sex work, all this kind of things, with the young girls being pushed into it, especially since, you know, she was kind of pushed at a very young age because of a lot of situations involving a gang and those sorts of things. So, you know, but this is a little different situation. You know, she had a lot of things that led her to this, whereas the young girls these days are getting goaded into it by the likes of Cardi B and, you know, people like that, that are popular celebrities. You know, they're oftentimes not going through the kinds of situations that she went through. And that's kind of what I want to open up some of the parallels on, because I want to show that, you know, this is what it's really like. And some of you guys know this, but some of you don't. Like, this is what it's like actually doing that kind of work. You know, being an escort, a call girl, whatever. A woman of the night, as Phil has said many times. Compared to just your regular OnlyFans girl, you know. It's a lot of different things going on. And, you know, obviously she's a mother of several daughters. Now, I know what Drek says about daughters. He's got one. he knows what it's like. He said, you know, he's like, it's almost a curse to have daughters in this day and age. And I'm sure, you know, she hopefully will talk to us about, you know, that kind of situation. You know, the girls are getting a bit older and they're getting, I mean, they have to be getting somewhat exposed to this kind of thing. Unless, you know, she is Orthodox, I believe. So Orthodoxy is a little bit more strict. It's a little bit more based, one could say. You know about Orthodox. And yes, despite the fact that she had a very rough upbringing and did a lot of things like that, she isn't the same person anymore. And she wants to kind of get that kind of story out to let, you know, maybe talk about how who she is now, the man that she has in her life, and just a different sort of path, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things you could say. You know, you could say the carousel, you could say all that kind of stuff, hit the wall, whatever you guys want to do. It doesn't, but this isn't about all that. This is just basically letting her come in, tell her story, and then, you know, you make of it, you know, what you will. I mean, but she does want to be a recurring part of the show, and if she has things that may help younger women or something, maybe to lead them off that path. You know, does it really matter who the voice is that, you know, that's saying it? Maybe it's better for somebody that's been there that can kind of, you know, and even stray men away from these kinds of women, because, you know, she knows how these kinds of women manipulate men, and maybe she'll even share maybe some of the things she may have done while she was working. I mean, all this is very important stuff, guys. I don't think you realize that, but to younger men out here on, you know, like BitChute, MGTOW.TV, stuff like that, this stuff is going to probably come in handy for you, hopefully. Maybe you'll say, well, you know, I remember listening to this former escort on Grimm's show, and she did bring up a lot of, you know, very important red flags and things that I wasn't thinking about when I was in the dating market, or when I was, you know, hooking up, or, you know, looking for my unicorn, whatever. Some of you guys are still trying to do that, you know. Maybe she can lead you in the right direction. I mean, most of you should know what the right direction is, but some of you might not. Maybe she's like, well, you know, she's very strong in her faith, so she's going to be, you know, very religious when she pushes that kind of stuff. So, I mean, do expect, you know, some talk of Christ and things like that, which is fine. I know some of you are religious. And, I mean, I've got no problem with somebody that's reformed, wants to come in and talk about it. I think about it like a drug addict, which, of course, she was at one time as well. And, you know, she'll be talking about that kind of thing as well, which is very important, because, again, there's women that are right now going down the path that she went down. And if it'll help maybe some guys to understand these kinds of women, you know, just to kind of be on that up and up. And, of course, you know, I was a different guy back then, too. She's a different person. You know, 7 years changes, you know, that's about 7-8 years, I'd say. So this is very important. She wanted to be on here. She seems to like what we talk about. I don't know. I sent her the interview with Phil, and I sent her the interview with Drex and a few other people, and Drex seems really interested in this one. He was very savage in the my server regarding this. And, you know, he said it sounds like it would make for great content. Of course, yes, it will. It'll make for great content, and maybe content that, again, can help guys. Remember, we are still a red pill channel. Just because we may be doing, you know, Starless and all the fuckery involved in that cartoon anti-game and stuff does not mean that we have given up on our red pill roots. And I mean, sometimes, like, again, last night I got a little heated and got into almost damn near crazy preaching about this kind of kind of behavior that I see from these young girls, and maybe even she can kind of elaborate on, you know, because she's been there. I haven't. Again, I've never ordered an escort. I'm aware of them. You know, I see them as a worthwhile service to gentlemen who need them. You know, as RPM says, you know, always hire a pro if you can, just to be on the safe side. But you know, but I don't have her experience. I don't know what it was like. I heard one podcast with a former, she's a former hoe. She was pimped out. You know, she's no longer pimped out. She actually got into mixed martial arts and stuff like that, and she became a woman's champion in something like that, which is pretty cool. I remember listening to her on Chris Ryan's show, which I used to listen to Chris Ryan an awful lot. And I still find things from Chris Ryan that are very useful. Now, he runs a little bit. He doesn't run to the far left, obviously. He's been on Rogan. But he has, you know, more left-leaning than some people that, you know, I may listen to. But, you know, I always try to keep an open ear to information that may be helpful. I mean, there was one thing I really liked that Chris Ryan said. This is completely unrelated, but I want to bring it up because we're talking about Ryan. Ryan used to live in an area where there were a bunch of models, these beautiful models. Imagine living, you know, the incel guys, or, you know, those guys that are kind of in that quadrant, I guess you could say, for the lack of terms at this time in the morning. Imagine living with all these beautiful Stacys, as we would call them, these gorgeous, beautiful models. And you know what he said? He said it was absolutely miserable living with these beautiful women. And you say, Grim, how can that be so? And I tell you, I say, are you not aware of where you are? Surely you've come to my channel, or you've come to MGTOW.TV, and you've looked and you've been like, but I thought living with beautiful models was the thing that men wanted. And this is a man that's like, no, these women were gorgeous. And he said they just drove him crazy. Can you imagine that? Beautiful. I mean, it's unreal, right? Beautiful women can possibly drive a man crazy. Having them constantly argue and fight and talk about how they're not pretty enough and all the craziness. Really? Like, yes, really, because that's a little bit of a red pill or black pill, however you want to swallow it, of life. You know, gorgeous women some of them have a lot of issues. What was it, the hot crazy matrix? Well, these women are all extremely fucking hot, so you can imagine how high the crazy must be, right? So, yeah, that's what Ryan was trying to say, and, again, this is a man that gave us Sex at Dawn, which is a great book. I've loved it. I've listened to the audio book version of it, which is really good. Definitely give that book a listen if you haven't. It's one audio book I would highly recommend. I should have recommended it to Drex, but I'm pretty sure he knows a lot about it. But I absolutely love when they basically talked about sports as being a competition for the egg. Because there's a bunch of men running to get an object, a ball, an object, and put it in the goal, which means that, I mean, it's similar to a bunch of sperm fighting for an egg to impregnate, to have the child. And I didn't realize it until Chris Ryan actually talked about it, because he talks about the sexual connections between a lot of things. And one of the most interesting things about all of this is that, you know, we talk a lot about Sigmund Freud and, you know, his sexual work that he's done based around sex and psychology. And this man actually didn't have a very good relationship with women at all. Like, he really didn't. He was terrible with them. And we go to a lot of his work, and a lot of his work is ill-informed. And they talk about that in the beginning. They talk about how Freud got so many things wrong. And, of course, you know, Ryan jokes a lot when it comes to that. He's also got a book about something like Return to Monkey. It's interesting. I haven't really picked it up yet, but he's talking about how basically technology may have made us worse off. It's an interesting little book, and he's talking about how, you know, we were better as tribes and that sort of thing. And, I mean, there's some interest that could be made there. But, again, I don't want to get too far off topic. But what I do want to say is, yeah, she's going to be coming on. She's going to tell her story. And, you know, I'm curious of what you guys will have to say. I mean, one of my listeners, fans, has been on my show. He basically said, it seems like a lot of red flags. And then another guy, he came in there and said, well, he said an escort and a groupie. Huh? You know, so, I mean, some guys are very interested. They want to know what's going on. I mean, save your jeers for the end. You know, you can say what you want. You can, you know, tell me I'm whatever after this is over. But we just want to let her say her piece, tell her story. And, you know, if she wants to become a regular or, you know, come on a couple times during the show or whatever she wants to do, it's fine. She has a Discord. She has a mic. I'm willing to have her on if she wants to talk about these sorts of things. There's always interesting information you get from people, you know. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll do this. But, of course, you know, I've said a few things about her, you know, in the past because we had some relations, you know. But not even anything you would really consider, you know, deep. It was more like maybe something we were... I didn't even really want to say intimate because it was just, oh, come on. It was just, you know, that sort of thing. You're young and the things happen. But it wasn't like that. Again, like Drexel gave me shit for. There was no foot butt stuff, okay? It wasn't anything like that. But yeah, when you have somebody there that really wants to talk about, you know, what they did in the past and how they've kind of changed and, you know, I mean, and then that's your interpretation. You know, I know how some of you feel, but let's let her talk, you know, because that's the point of the conversation. I've always kind of modeled my stuff off of the way that Drex does it when he does his interviews, because he does so many. And I always like that he lets the person talk and just really kind of get their story. And you ask them questions based on the story they give you. So you get what they want rather than the other, you know, the other person. Of course, I do and have been known to ask a few, you know, a bit more questions than maybe, you know, some would. But as it gets towards the end of the interview, you know, we kind of want to make sure we touch base on everything. So we get every question that we need asked or answered in that time, because that's just the best way to do it, to make sure you don't miss anything. So, I hope it's an eye-opener. I hope it maybe you get something from it. And, you know, we're always open to guests. I've been trying to get Ken on for months. It's hard. He's not even really responding to my DMs. I don't know if that's because he doesn't care for me anymore or he's just very busy. I'd say he's just very busy because I haven't even seen him on his show often. Usually I keep track of him on, you know, locals and things, and I haven't seen him on there in a while. So I do not know what's going on with Mr. Ken. And when I find out what's going on with Mr. Ken, Mr. Ken gets a hold of me and says, hey, we've got some time. I'd like to get you in. Because we wanted to do a deep dive on these adult games and some of the more darker ones and some of the... Like, he is a therapist, you know. He's worked with people that have gone through sexual trauma. Like when we talked about with Starless. Yes, it's a fictional game, but... this very real world, stuff that's talked about here. You know, somebody that went through that level of sexual trauma, I mean, how do you deal with somebody like that? I mean, is there even anybody close to that? I mean, obviously that's pretty far out, but I mean, even if we were going to address something like that in the real world, how would we go about doing it? How would we deal with someone like Sawatari, who was subjected to sexual torture for weeks on end? Just horrifying, deviant sexual torture. And there very well may be situations like that. There may be situations like that you can find in the real world where a person has been subjected to certain sexual torture. So, you know, that's just one thing that I'm, you know, would like to talk to him about. And, of course, you know, we'll talk briefly in these last couple minutes. We'll talk briefly about the Little Mermaid thing, because this has been long, and, you know, it's about 30 minutes, so I don't want you guys to be, you know, just listening to me for too much. You got other things you got to do. But, we need to talk about the Little Mermaid. First of all, okay, here's my thoughts on the Little Mermaid, because I'm sure y'all want to know. And I'll talk about it more in the open mic, I guess, and let people really kind of chime in. Honestly, my issue with the Little Mermaid isn't with the Little Mermaid. It's with the fact that we don't really need to be remaking all these classic Disney films over and over again. Like, Disney's gotten lazy. They've gotten very, very lazy. They've bought in cash cows. They've bought cash cows like Star Wars and Marvel. They've crashed Star Wars. They've tried to build it back up a little, and they've gained a little bit of their fan base back. And they're slowly but surely crashing the Marvel train. They're dividing Marvel. They haven't gotten to the point where they've completely crashed it. You know, Avengers 5 was announced, which is the Kang Dynasty. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep watching the Marvel. But I know that there's already a lot of characters and things that you probably would have had to watch these shows for. And of course, DP's been watching She-Hulk and all that kinds of thing. Because the nieces, obviously, they want to watch the She-Hulk. And they don't understand. They're under the age of 5, so they don't really understand the twerking. They don't get that. They just like the character and all that. And I mean, that's fine. As long as they don't know or understand the twerking, you know, that may be okay. But, you know, I mean, I get it. I understand that they're young. But if they were a bit older and they understood it, yeah, it'd be a little different. Because we obviously don't want to encourage that kind of behavior with young girls. That's about how I feel about The Little Mermaid. The team that made The Little Mermaid and so many of these other public domain works, you know, a friend of mine, she's a lawyer, and she basically said, look, Disney's been in the process of just buying these public domain, and, I mean, well, they don't buy them. They take the public domain stories, and they make these big franchises on them, and they cash out, and they've done it for years. They've done it since the start of the company. It's very easy to take something that doesn't have any copyrights on it and make something into copyrights based on it. You know, like Hans Christian Andersen. It's a public domain story, The Little Mermaid. And there's several more. Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. All these are very old fairy tales. They're public domain stories that Disney bought and is trying to make money off of, continue to make money off of. You know, we know about the Lion King's Japanese roots. We know all this kinds of thing. Disney's not going to stop if they know they have money to be made. And, you know, one thing, you know, I mentioned The Boys. If you look at anything in The Boys adaptation, not the comic books I'm reading, but the adaptation, I need you guys to take a look at how Vought is run. How you have all these people that are talking about, you know, ad revenue and demographics and stuff like that. Imagine that is Disney. That's how Disney is run. That right there is how Disney is run. Disney is Vought. Everything you see about Vought, about, oh, your demographics show this, and this is what we have as a pitch for that, or this is what we have a pitch for this. It's Disney. All it is Disney. And same thing with Vaultland. It's just Disneyland. The whole Vault is just nothing more than a parody of what Disney... Or not even really a parody. It's basically just trying to show how these companies are run. These big entertainment companies. That's what they are. They're an entertainment company. I mean, Disney and Marvel, same thing as Vought in the Seven and the heroes that they have. The only difference is their heroes are actually heroes. Or they're superpowered humans to some extent, instead of actors and actresses. Well, they're a little bit of both, but, you know, they can actually do their own stunts, I suppose you would say. But, yeah, well, I mean, some people do their own stunts. You see what I'm getting at. But, yeah, guys, that's it. If you want to look at how Disney is run, look at Vought from The Boys. Anything you see from Vought is, that's how it's run. It's very cutthroat. It's very, this is not performing well. We need this to happen. We need that to happen. Our research shows that this demographic will be targeted if we do this. So they chose to make Ariel, you know, black the way that they have, because they know it's going to hit that target demographic. They're looking at that demographic. They know it's going to cause social outrage, which actually boasts their score, by the way. Any kind of outrage, any kind of, you know, memeing and things drawn to an entertainment, powerhouse like Disney, that's going to drive up their statistic. It's just going to make things balloon. It's going to be, oh, wow, look how many people are talking about The Little Mermaid and hashtagging The Little Mermaid and memeing The Little Mermaid and, you know, constantly weighing in on The Little Mermaid, you know, and the more famous people they can get, the more, disgruntled and angry and political pundits, you know, like Tucker Carlson goes on there and talks about it. That's going to drive up some of their revenue. I mean, it's all about getting attention for the movie. That's all it is. Disney knows the movie itself may or may not be that profitable, but it's not even necessarily about the amount of money it makes. It's about the how much revenue it drives from all the outrage culture. They're going to continue to do that because they know that they can make money off of the outrage. So, by all means, continue to be upset about Disney's The Little Mermaid, because all you're doing is helping Disney. Disney wants that movie to get as much publicity, and even negative publicity is still publicity. It's caused all the comic book websites to start up. It's caused gaming websites to start up. The same thing with the Lord of the Rings. The more people talking about the Lord of the Rings, hashtagging Lord of the Rings, you're drawing more attention to it. You're increasing their revenue, their everything that they're, you know, their clickbait, whatever. Whatever they're doing, you're strengthening it. With your anger, with your outrage on the YouTube, on the whatever you're doing, it's just drawing more attention. That's what they want. Attention. If nobody cared, they would probably stop. They wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't be promoting it. There wouldn't be articles. If people weren't outraged, they wouldn't, you know, it'd be a completely different story. Be like, okay, yeah, she's black, whatever. But no, they knew that if they made her a non-white and changed her hair color, which is not red, that it would cause a lot of issues. They knew it would deviate from source material, and they understand what they're doing. They completely understand what they're doing. That's just like today, there was an article about Matthew McConaughey. Now, it talked about him having some very debaucherous allegations. And then, of course, you know, I click on the article. I'm like, oh, wow. So what's going on with Matthew McConaughey? I've always found him a stand-up guy. I listened to his interview with Joe Rogan. He was a very, you know, like you like you'd expect a good conservative straight arrow man, wanted to raise his children properly and all that kind of thing. He's a professor, he hasn't done anything crazy that I know of, and so I went and I clicked on it and I looked, and all of a sudden it said that the movie Dallas Sting was actually at fault, not Matthew McConaughey. They canceled the film because of the true life story behind the film that had to do with a girls team and an older adult. And they said they didn't want to make a movie on that. That's probably the person that Matthew McConaughey would have played would be the older adult. And he may have declined that because he's got little girls. So he doesn't want to be in that kind of role, I can assume. So basically, they canceled it. So it wasn't about anything McConaughey did. But the article made it out to be something that McConaughey did. And I think it's very, very awful that a source that one respects for entertainment or, you know, comic book you know, movies, anything like that, that they would do something like that to kind of make it look like that the actor himself was defamed, that he had done something bad, you know, and people were already that you know, not even had read the article, not even had looked, they had to be corrected in comments. He's not so good anyway, blah, 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 blah. It has nothing at all to do with Mr. McConaughey at all. Mr. McConaughey is completely fine. No allegations have come against Mr. McConaughey. Don't attack Mr. McConaughey. He's done nothing wrong here. It's a film that was canceled because of the allegations based on the true story surrounding the events of the film. And again, that was rather shitty of this news site, don't you think? Don't you think it's a little shitty? When, you know, a site that people are, you know, people want to trust when it comes to getting their entertainment and movie news would go on and make this false hit piece on Matthew McConaughey. I could understand if Matthew McConaughey had been, you know, accused of doing something. Of course, we know what that means in today's society, but if he had actually done something, or if there was some accusations brought against it, yeah, I could kind of understand where they're coming from. However, that's not what this is about, guys. None of this has anything to do with Mr. McConaughey. It was just the film. And we gotta really, you know, think about that. We gotta really look at our articles. That's something that I have done in journalism. When I worked in journalism, you need to look at your articles. You need to say, well, hold on, I can tell this here sounds like some clickbait, you know, and always kind of look at your comment sections. You know, I do say that because some people have already kind of looked ahead, and you really don't need to be giving them a click for something that is bullshit, because all it does is, again, it increases their revenue, their clickbait share, their, you know, everything that they're looking at as far as their statistics and their data. That's all you're doing, is giving them more data that they can sell to corporations. That's all they're doing. You know, journalism isn't what it used to be. It's all about outrage and clickbait. And that's one reason why I almost feel as if I'm a failed writer, because I wanted to write in an industry that wasn't about that. You know, that's one thing that I was very good at. Now, I was very wordy, I'll admit, but in my time, it was an era where people didn't mind paragraphs when it came to an article. Now, they say that they do, but I still see plenty of paragraphs in these articles that I've read. Plenty of paragraphs. There's been one that had like 20, 30, 40 paragraphs. And they say, oh, no, you know, people don't read. Well, why write so much? You know, because I could write about 3 paragraphs on a basic thing, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, paragraphs are necessary to tell the situation. It's not easy to tell things in a quick, easy manner. It's not easy to do that, guys. You might think so, but if you really want to get details out there, which is very important, because that's what a lot of people are missing, is details. And that's what happens when we end up with things like the Matthew McConaughey situation. Because people aren't getting the full details. All they're getting is what the website told them happened. Yeah, this Dallas Sting thing. It's been canceled because of some allegations towards McConaughey. Oh, wow, what did he do? Nothing. But I wouldn't know if I hadn't read it. I wouldn't know if I hadn't gotten the details. I wouldn't know if I was just looking at the headline. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad just looking at the little topic. Oh, okay. Okay. That's what he did. Horrible man. That horrible Matthew McConaughey. How dare he do the thing? I don't know what he did. But I know it's bad because the newsman says it's bad. Newsman who never would lie to me, he says it's bad. Oh, that horrible Matthew McConaughey. He must have been touching some women. Young women, too. Pervert. And of course, that's not the case. Because we weren't given the details. And without the details, you don't have a proper source. You really don't. I mean, everybody's like, hey, give me a source. Well, here's your source. You know, why do they want the source? Because they want more details. Why does anybody want a source to anything? They want more details. Why does anybody request a source when it comes to a nude you post or like an anime hentai character or something? I want the sauce. Give me the sauce. You know why? They want more details. Those details might be two big old tits, but they're details. Okay? That's what I'm saying. People want to be informed. Not everyone. Some people are okay with what the newsman says. Oh, the internet today tells me. Yep. Just like you would back in the day when Grandpa watches the news. Newsman said there's a war in Iran, Iraq. You know, don't even understand really what's going on with all that. Just listen to what the newsman says. Well, we have the internet now. We're in the age of information, what they used to call it. And we need information. We need details. Very, very important, guys. All right. So, with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and leave off here. And we're going to go ahead and start up some Starless now. Go ahead and get me ranting more. So, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out. And I'll see you next time on Grim Rants into the Heavens.